There it is. Whew! That was quite an achievement. That brick meant a lot to me because the placement of time when this test came in with things that are going on here at the church. There are some roles and some things that I'm stepping into that are more leadership oriented, and it's tough and it's unexpected and it's scary. I've never broken a brick before in my life. And I think that's part of the point of having that in the test. It's something that's you've never done before. It's scary. It's intimidating. But it's the idea of moving into that and saying, okay, you know what? It's going to be tough. There's some rough roads ahead of us as a church. There's some tough things that we're going to have to be doing. But we're going to have to do it to move on to the next level that this church is being called to. All right, so this is a personal journey for me, but one I'm bringing over into our church as God has called us into a new vision and a new mission and what we're doing there. Let's go on and review that. The new mission of the church is revealing God through a church in motion. Say that with me. Revealing God through a church in motion. Let's break that down. Revealing God. That's showing God. The Spirit manifests Himself through the gifts that He has given us. We show God through the words we say, through the things that we do. We reveal God, and we do that through the things we say and the things we do, church in motion. That's the motion side of that. We're revealing God through a church in motion, a church that is doing things, a church that is active. And our vision statement is internal. Our mission statement is external. We want everyone to know this is what we're about. We're about revealing God through a church in motion. You ever question what our motive is as a church? We're revealing God through a church in motion. You ever question, or you know, you look at a ministry, you say, okay, what's this ministry doing in our church? No matter what ministry it is, what's this ministry doing? It's doing what? You guys don't seem very convinced about that. Any ministry we have is going to be doing what? Yes, revealing God's one thing. We have the how, okay? We have the what and the how. You got to have them both. This is how we're going to reveal God. It's through doing things, through being active in our church. We have a perfect church for this. Our vision is internal. It's more detailed. Our vision is being a church that is visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community. So the first part of that, we are a church that is visibly, not just you know, hidden, sitting in a pew, you know, attached to the heart of Christ, but visibly affected, visibly won over, visibly changed, visibly connected to the heart of Christ. How? Through bringing hope. That's how we are visibly connected to the heart of Christ. Because what did Jesus do? He brought hope. That's what he did. He brought hope in the big scheme of things on the cross. But he also brought hope in the little elements. Healing the lepers. Where all but one or two of them, they weren't grateful. They were just happy they were healed. They didn't come back to him and thank him. He still brought hope to their life, didn't he? The feeding of the 5,000. After the feeding of the 5,000, he had some tough words to share with them. And a lot of them stopped following them. He still brought hope to that day. He still fed their bellies. That's bringing hope. And that's the threefold part of us bringing hope. And this is the big part that's going to be a challenge for our church. Is bringing hope, first of all, simply through service. That's it. No strings attached. Not expecting anything in return. And I think sometimes churches and church people, we get bummed when we serve someone and it doesn't result in someone coming to Christ. Or we serve someone and they don't thank us. Or we serve someone and they don't even appear to be grateful. We are done with that attitude, church. Do you understand me? We are serving to serve because that's what our Savior did. That's what Jesus did. And if it doesn't result in anything, we've brought hope for one day. We fed a belly for one day. We've cleaned up their yard for one day. However, we have a threefold. Because if a door opens in the midst of sharing a physical hope to be able to share a spiritual hope, And a conversation starts, or an open door starts where we can be able to share with them, or we can develop a relationship with them, and that leads to a transformation. So it's revealing hope through serving and transforming. So if we can make it to the next level, that is the goal, by all means, to go on and step it past just that. But this is still a win. It's still a win just to serve. It's bonus, and it's even more of a win if we get a chance to be part of the transformation process of Jesus in their life. And that's the goal. That's what we're shooting for next. And then the third part of that is it not only to allow Jesus, God to use us to bring Jesus into the life, and that Jesus does a transforming and we're part of that action, but to see them have the same heart and the same actions, to reproduce that same heart. I would love it, absolutely love it, to see every one of you here through these service opportunities, through sharing with people, through planting seeds, through fertilizing, which we'll talk about in a minute. I'd love to see every one of you up there with someone that you have led to Christ, and God has allowed you to be part of that transforming process. And if I never baptize another person here in my 10-year of however long God's got me here, which I'm expecting long, if I don't baptize anyone else in that time because all of you guys are baptizing people, then praise God. That would be a great joy and a great honor for me to see you guys doing those things. I want to see that. So it's serving and transforming and then reproducing. And this is something where I know, and that, you know, this is part of where that brick really plays a lot into my mentality of things. I know we've got some hard things to get past. We have to get past them in order to make it to the next level, in order to make it to the next rank. When I entered that test, I did not want to break the brick. I knew I had to in order to get the belt, regardless of what it was going to feel like to shake hands on Sunday, which I might be done shaking hands today, just to let you know. It keeps getting redder. But I knew something, it had to be done to move on to the next rank. And here, in this process, it's going to be tough to roll us over. I accept that. And you guys are willing, and you're excited, and I love that. But there's still a reality of taking a church and rolling it over into a new attitude, into a new venture, into a new vision, new mission. That's going to be tough. I believe you're all with me. I believe we're all going to be breaking bricks together, metaphorically. And so in that process, though, here's the cool part, because I know the reality of it. Once we get transformed over into this, and we are visibly connected to the heart of Christ through bringing hope and through serving and through transforming and reproducing others to that same heart and those same actions, those people, the next generation — I'm not talking about age generation, I'm talking about the next group of people that are going to be in our church and active in our church — we're building the foundation. And it doesn't mean we're done, because we're going to keep building with them. We're part of a living building. We're living stones, right? 1 Peter, you with me? That's scripture. All right, you can agree with it. After we build the foundation and we have this next layer of people that come into this church, that layer of people that come into this church are going to be people that are reached through our service, through bringing hope to them, through that transforming of that action and being reproduced into this same heart and the same action. And they're going to be more energetic about the vision than we are, because they saw it work and it brought them to Christ. And I'm excited to see that. I'm very excited to see that. It's going to be a tough road to get there, an exciting road. And we got some big things coming. I think that is at the next slide. No, we don't. If you guys missed August 5th, where we rolled out the vision and the mission, it is available on our website. Front page of the website. We've made it very easy to get to. The first one you can click to read about, to read them on the About Us page. The next link there, it says click here to hear the presentation of the vision, mission, strategy, whatever. So if you click that one, then you get the vision, mission, strategy. Then you can also listen to the message that happened that same day. They are separate files. So don't think, oh man, I got to sit through. They're separated out. That was a long Sunday. Okay, so if you want to go back and review the vision, mission, strategy and goals, then feel free. It's there for you. If you missed that Sunday, I strongly encourage you, go there and check it out. And if you can find the time to listen to both the message and that, they go hand in hand. And there was an awesome video that Sunday too. So we are counting down to our next step of this because we're not done. Really, I've just given you just the tip of the iceberg. We're just getting started. We're starting to kind of limber up. We haven't actually gotten into just the meat and the nitty gritty of what God's got planned for this church. That's going to be revealed on November 11th. And I'll be doing that in three different Sundays. And we have 12 more weeks. So we're crossing these off. Every week we get closer. We're crossing one off, cross another one off. T-shirts. I'll give you an update on that real quick. We talked about different colors. And among the staff, we talked about, well, if we went with green, then when we were in Harrison, if we were doing anything with that school, we'd just kind of blend in. If we were helping out with Coleraine, then we'd look like the enemy, you know, going in there wearing green and they're all in red, you know, or whatnot. And so we thought, you know, black might not be a bad color for T-shirts. It's kind of neutral, pretty modern, you know, it works. And we thought about the other service projects where they're outside, where you're working and you're helping out in someone's yard. And you're thinking, man, you don't want to wear black doing that. So we thought if we did one shirt that was black with white writing and then you could do another shirt that was white with black writing, then it would look uniform. It would still look the same and you'd have something you could throw in the washer and bleach after a long, hard day outside working and helping people out. And you'd have another one that you could wear if you're doing inside stuff, or you could even wear the white one if you just preferred to wear white. And so we're going to have both of those, and we're going to start getting those together. I'm going to get together 4D down the road, and they do great work with us. And we'll find some shirts that fit women, some shirts that fit men, and we'll start getting some things together there. And so soon you guys will see order forms, whatnot, so you can start getting your shirts. And what we're going to do is we're going to just a little Miami Town logo on the front, but on the back, just pow, big. That way there's no doubt we're there, we're revealing God through a church in motion. And hopefully they'll see that through our actions, through our talk, through everything, and that shirt's just going to reinforce it. All right, just in case you missed it, here it is, you know, that kind of thing. So we have all sorts of ministry opportunities with this new vision and this new mission, and they're on the Help Wanted boards upstairs and downstairs. I want to focus on one real quick today because it's very important. Will Fisher back here. Will, if you can raise your hand for us. Just one of them. Just raise your hand, one of them. All right, there we go. Will Fisher is our liaison between our church and the food pantry that is down the road in Hooven. If you go to their website, you'll find this right here. Joyful Harvest Food Pantry closed for renovations. You know what that means? They need help. Good job. We're picking up on the new vision here. Where can I help? Where can I serve? They need people to go in there. They are remodeling. They're making it better. They're improving it. And Will can use your help going down there. So if you guys would like to be involved in that, at least the remodeling part of it, see Will. Another thing is they need to stock it. They need to stock it well. They are starting to reach out more and more families, and it's starting to get very empty down there. You could bring items to stock it. And I understand that feels good to bring something and feel like you're doing something. Yeah, I'm bringing something. Money for this ministry is going to benefit them more than product. And here's why. Because they are an official food pantry, they have special deals worked out with their vendors where they can get a much better deal than you could get. And they can get more product for the money you give them than you could get with your money. Does that make sense? So giving the money, one, it's easier, you know. Two, they're going to get better benefit out of it. And if you want to do both, give money and go down there and serve. That would be great. If you can't go down there and serve, give some money. If you can't give money, if you can't go down there and serve, then pray. Pray for them, lift them up. You know, don't feel like you can't take part in any of this because you don't have any money or you can't serve physically. Pray, lift them up, or find out if there's something they need to do. If you need to make phone calls, or if you need to organize people from a comfortable situation where whatever you can do, just let us know what you can do and what ministry you'd like to be a part of, and we'll connect you with that ministry leader, and we'll see how we can fit that in, because we want a church that is revealing God through a church in motion. The process of planting seeds we talked about last week, it revolves around the task of building what? What? Credibility. There we go. Good job. Ah, it cheated. It went up on the board, didn't it? Process of planting seeds revolves around the task of building credibility. The only way you can plant seeds is to build credibility. Aristotle called this ethos in effective persuasive talk in a work that he did called On Rhetoric. And he said you need ethos, you need pathos, you need logos. Logos is content, pathos is passion, ethos is that credibility. And so we need credibility in order to plant seeds. And last week we talked about how do you get credibility? Well, it's very simple. In this whole series, we're going very simple in this series. Because too many times people feel like in order for me to go out and share the gospel, in order for me to be effective in the kingdom, I have to get to some level, you know. I have to get to some, and that was something that I was sharing with Sunday school that being in martial arts has really taught me. And that is that when I first started off and I had my white belt and then white belt with a yellow stripe and then yellow belt, I remember Mr. Beckman asking me to help out some yellow or some white belts. And I do a lot of service. My job is very service oriented. And I kind of went to Taekwondo for me. It was the one thing I wanted this for me. And then that class, when he asked me to help out the white belts, I went home and I didn't learn anything for me. And I was kind of frustrated. And it kind of hit me and I realized, you know, no matter what level you're at, you're responsible for anyone that's below you, that has less experience or less knowledge. So any one of us, wherever you are, you still have a responsibility to be able to share what you have and what you've learned and what you know. You don't have to be way up here, a high, high rank, in order to be able to share and be effective for the kingdom. And that's what this whole series is about, is just how simple it is. And so to build credibility, you need to be mindful, you need to be wise in the way you act towards others. We talked last week about using salty language. If you weren't here last week, you're thinking, what? Salty language? Seriously? Yes. There's a passage we read last week from Colossians. It says that your conversation should be full of grace and seasoned with salt. You are the salt of the earth. So yes, we're reclaiming that phrase back for the church. Use salty language. Let your words be filled with grace and filled with truth. And then the last thing we talked about was letting your light shine by doing good deeds for others. So be wise. Be mindful in the way that you act towards others. Be mindful of the things that come out of your mouth. And purposefully do good deeds so that God is glorified in heaven. And that builds credibility. Last week we talked about the parable of the sower. I just kind of mentioned it briefly. Parable of the sower, in our eyes, or in, I guess in anyone's eyes, in a farmer's eyes, it would be even more so. It would look like the parable of the wasteful farmer. But the farmer's God, so it feels kind of disrespectful to say that. But the idea of the parable, Jesus shared this parable. He said this farmer went out and he scattered seed among the path. He scattered seed among the rocks, and he scattered seed among where thorns were. He scattered seeds on good soil. The seed that was scattered along the path, birds came down, flew down, ate up the seed, and nothing grew. The seed that fell along the rocks, they sprung up quickly. But because they had no root, when the sun came out, they withered and they died. The seed that fell among where the thorns grew up and choked them out. And they died. But the seed that fell on the good soil, it grew up and it produced a crop of 30, 60, even 100 times. And then later the disciples asked Jesus, well, what does that parable mean? I love Jesus' response on it. He's just like, seriously? It's kind of like the SNL, you know, the seriously. Seriously? You don't get this parable? If you don't get this one, how are you going to get the other ones? Because I got some tough ones coming. So Jesus explains this parable, which is kind of nice because for those of us who might be a little, you know, on the not so getting parables level, we know it exactly what Jesus was talking about. He said that the seed that fell along the path and the birds came down and ate it up, the path is a hardened soil. It's a hardened heart. And the bird is Satan that comes down and sweeps up the, eats up the seed before it even gets a chance to take root at all. So the seed that fell among the rocks, those are people that spring up quickly, but they have no root. They're not grounded. They haven't got anything to hold them sturdy and stable. And when tough times come, when hardship comes, they wither away. They give up. They fade off. The seed that fell among the thorns, they grew up, and worries of this world, things of this world came and just choked the seed out. But the seed that fell on good soil, it produced more. It multiplied one by one. That's what our whole logo, if you look at our logo, one by one. One wins one. Those two win two more. Those four win four more. Those eight win eight more. And that's how the kingdom grows. Not by addition, by multiplication. And so this group produces a crop, multiplying some 30, 60, even 100 times multiplication. In this parable, I look at these different soils, and I think a lot of times we look at these different soils around us. And we think, you know, if you got a hardened heart, it's your own fault. Sorry for your luck. Sorry about the things that you went through. Sorry about whatever made you hard. Whoever walked on you, whoever walked on your path to make it hard. Can't do anything about it. Sorry. Sometimes we look at those in the rocks and we think, you know what? That's your soil. You need to worry about your soil. Or the thorns. And we think, you know what? You need to take care of your own soil. I threw the seed. I did my part. And then the seed that falls on the good soil, that's already good, then we take some pride in that. Yeah, I planted that seed. My thought is, if this is the soil that produces the crop, and if there's anything that I can do to help these soils to be more like that soil, I feel like I'm responsible to do that if I can. I take that personally, and I charge you with it as well. Would that not make sense? If there's something that we can do to help these other soils to be more fertile, isn't that something we should be doing, church? Did you get me on the other side of that? Have you found yourself in that situation where you've looked at that and you said, you know what, that's your soil, I can't do anything about it. And we write it off. But there is something we can do about it. We can fertilize that soil. We can help it to be more. Well, let me give you the definition for fertilize so that makes sense. Fertilizer, a chemical or natural substance added to the soil to increase its fertility. So if there's anything we can do to make those soils more fertile, we should do it. If the seed falls on that soil and it's fertile, then we might be able to help that soil to be more like this soil, and it'll produce a crop that multiplies, not a crop that dies. Let's write this down. The secret to fertilizing is consistency. Consistency. The more consistent you are with the way that you live, the more you're going to be able to affect the lives of those around you and help to fertilize a soil that naturally wouldn't be ready for the seed. And I'm talking about those three very simple things we talked about last week. Being mindful of how you act towards others. You do that for a little bit, you gain credibility. You do it for a long haul, that's consistency. And throughout that whole time, you're fertilizing as well as throwing seed. It's like those special packets they have where it's seed and fertilizer together. You know what I'm talking about? Mike's our horticulture. No, there's nothing that's all put together there, seed and fertilizer together? Okay, I thought there was. Isn't there grass seed that's grass seed and fertilizer together? Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that. I'm almost positive I saw that somewhere. But you're throwing seed and you're fertilizing at the same time through consistency. Through watching what comes out of your mouth, using salty language, language that is encouraging, that is uplifting, that is full of truth, that is full of grace. You do that for a short time, you gain credibility. You do it for a long time, it supports your credibility, but it gives you consistency. And that's fertilizer. The good deeds you do for others to let your light shine so they may glorify your Father in heaven. Short time gives you credibility. It allows you to plant seeds. Long term, it gives you consistency, and it fertilizes the soil. Fertilizes the soil all around you. Verse in 1 Timothy. You might want to write this in. It's not in your bulletins. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Persevere in them. Continue in them. Don't give up in them. When you hit the block once and it doesn't break, hit it again. Don't give up, church. You keep going. It's perseverance. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and who? Your hearers. So as you're watching your life and your doctrine, it's good for you, but it's good for those watching you. It's good for those around you. It's fertilizer for those around you. You watch your life and your doctrine. I cannot stress enough, church, how important it is that once God has washed you clean, that you live clean. Once he's made you pure, you live pure. Once he's put his Holy Spirit in you, then you live holy. It's what's asked of us, and I think a lot of times it gets watered down and washed away in a lot of our modern day church. And it cannot happen. There's a discipline to being a Christian. There's a responsibility for being pure and being holy and running from sin and turning from sin and fighting sin. And church, we need to understand the importance of that, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Because if I can do anything in my life to help this path, to help these rocks, to help this thorny soil, to be more like this soil, I should do it. And if it means living my life in such a way that I'm highly disciplined to a pure lifestyle, to a holy lifestyle, and showing that and living that fertilizes this soil, if I'm not living that way, not only is it hurting my relationship with God, it's hurting my ability to be effective for the kingdom. Are you with me? Let's move ahead. I'll skip some things here. Our credibility and our consistency, they work hand in hand to be able to prepare us for open door opportunities. In the three stories that are in your bulletin that I asked you to read last week, if you didn't read it last week, read it this week. We're going to keep coming back to it, and I'm only mentioning it because I'm expecting you to read it. John chapter 4, when Jesus is sharing with the Samaritan woman, he's speaking truth, he's speaking grace. And through that consistency and that credibility, he has an open door. And he's allowed to walk through that open door because of his credibility and his consistency and the things that he's acting, how he's acting towards her, how he's speaking to her, and the things that he's offering to do for her. Feeding the 5,000. Jesus had a reputation. He had a consistency of being generous. Feeding the 5,000 is just a huge culmination of that. He was teaching them, and that allowed him to teach more, allowed him to continue with that. Now, down the road, it ends up being something where there's a difficulty because there are some people that leave because of some hard teaching that comes after that. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk about that next week. That consistency, that credibility. You see it in chapter 9 as he's sharing with the man who has been born blind. And when he's asked, who did this to you? He's like, well, that guy named Jesus, that guy they called Jesus. It wasn't someone that he believed in, but it was someone that had a reputation. Somewhere Jesus had a reputation of helping people in need. If we're going to be a church that's connected to the heart of Christ, then I think that's the first and foremost thing, to build a reputation where we just help people in need. That's credibility. That's consistency. That's throwing seed, and that's fertilizer. Now, when we put this together and you see open door opportunities, because we're all coming together now. We've been kind of some broad, narrowing it down. If you are building credibility and you're building consistency, then when an open door opportunity presents itself, you are invited in. You're welcomed in to someone else's life. If you haven't been building credibility and you haven't been consistently living in such a way that they respect you and they understand that your faith is real and your relationship with God is real, then when an open door opportunity comes up, they're not going to want you in their life. They're not going to want you. And this person may be someone that needs you that wouldn't, no one else would be available but you. They need the hope that you can share. They need the love that you can give. They need the service that you can offer. They need the good deeds. They need the good words. But if you haven't prepared for that, if you haven't planted seed, if you haven't fertilized the soil, then when the door opens, you won't be allowed to walk in. These open door opportunities are opportunities. Let's write this down. I'm just going to get the notes here. Open door moments, times when people are more receptive to the message of the gospel. Open door moments are times when people are more receptive to the message of the gospel. Like, for instance, moving into a new community. Someone moves into a new community. Church, take note of that. Quickly build credibility. Gain whatever consistency you can with them. And then when that open door, because they've moved into a new opportunity, they've moved into a new community, so the door is there. But in this situation, you'll have to build that and then hope the door stays open to be able to walk into it once you've gained some credibility and you've gotten some consistency. But as soon as someone moves in your neighborhood, get busy. Build some credibility, because you know that that's an open door. That's a time when someone is more receptive to the gospel. A new baby. This one's a little easier to prepare for. Even if they wait till they're past their first trimester, you have 6 months to wake up and have the light come on in your head and say, man, there's an open door opportunity coming up in 6 months. I need to start doing what? Building credibility and consistency. So you need to start throwing seeds. You need to start fertilizing the soil. So no matter what kind of soil it is, you're doing the best you can to make it this soil so that when that open door opportunity happens, you've built credibility and consistency, and then you can just step right in. And they'll welcome you in. They'll want you there because you're a source of stability. You connect with something that's higher than you. You have a deeper level of love. You have a deeper level of commitment, a deeper level of service. And they're going to want you in their life when a new baby comes in. Or the opposite side of that is the death of a loved one. People are more receptive to the gospel message. You can't prepare for that as well. So really, you should just be credibility, consistency everywhere. Because then when you've got someone, a friend or a neighbor or a coworker who has the death of a loved one, if you haven't been building credibility and consistency through being very purposeful in your actions towards them, being salty with your speech, and doing good deeds, if you haven't been doing those things, and then all of a sudden they lose a loved one, there's an open door and you can't go through it because there's no relationship. There's no stability. There's no trust in your faith because you haven't displayed it. If you have, in the death of a loved one and those doors come open, you have free rein and they'll welcome you in and they'll want you there and they'll need you there to be a comfort and a stability and an ear to listen. This fertilizer is so important. And it's not something that you can all of a sudden one day jump into. It's not fast food. This is crock pot cooking. You know, this is long term. And you have to think about it that way. Change in marital status or change in job status? Marital status goes either way. Couple, they're getting married, they're newlyweds. Open door. Great opportunity. If you build a relationship with one or the two of them, either through work or through friends or whatnot, you build credibility, consistency, it's a great time to step in there and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you start off your marriage in church? If you just said that to them off the street, they wouldn't listen to you. But if there's a relationship and they see that your faith is real and they know that what God has done in your life and they've seen it and they've witnessed it and they've seen the way you treat them and they've seen the way you treat others and they've seen how you talk to them and how you talk to others, then when you say, hey, why don't you come to church? You can sit with us at church. They're going to be more receptive. Or the opposite, if someone goes through a divorce. If you haven't built a relationship that allows you to walk through that open door, there's an open door, and you're not going to be allowed to go in and comfort them and help them through a time of trouble and help them through a time of pain. But if you've built a relationship, if you fertilize the ground and you've thrown the seeds, then when that open door happens, even though it's a negative open door, they will welcome you in because they need you. Change in job status, same thing. Sickness, hospitalization. First child enters school. Now is a little late to be fertilizing for that, but you can be thinking about next year. The next one, though, you got a few months. Last child leaves home. If you have any family, friends, or coworkers, neighbors, has a senior in high school and it's their last child, start dropping the seeds. Start fertilizing. Because that's going to be an open door come May, come June. And May and June will be here quicker than you know it. We need to think like this. We need to think intentionally, church. Last child leaves home, or entering or leaving college. Church, we contain this message of hope. Paul says that we have this message of hope inside jars of clay. In the modern day, translation, that would be more like Tupperware. Rubbermaid, it's not about the vessel. It's just, we're plain Jane. We're just everyday, it's what's inside of us that's special. It's the message of the cross. And we cannot live our life just as a Tupperware pot or Tupperware container. I'm back on the crock pot. We have to understand the message we contain is important to the world around us. And you can't just wait for the open door opportunities and think, oh, well, someone's family member died. I need to go and love on them. It's too late. You need to prepare for that. Plant the seeds, fertilize, build credibility, build consistency. So when an open door happens, you can step in and you can minister to them and you can love on them and you can share with them the message of hope that you have inside of you that you contain. Church, we need to stop looking at the people around us as bodies and start looking at them as souls. Stop looking at the skin. Stop looking at the hair. Stop looking at the eye color, the tall, the short, the shape of the body. And everyone you see, you should look straight into their eyes and see a soul, not a body. Because that soul is made for an eternal existence. And it will exist eternally in heaven or hell. And it can be your fault that they go to heaven. It could also be your fault if you miss out on an opportunity, if you miss out on an open door, if they miss out on Jesus because you didn't do what your responsibility called you to do. There are walking souls all around us, and they will live forever. And it's our responsibility, church, to plant seeds and to fertilize, to be a church in motion, revealing God through a church in motion.